Be seated. And looking, if you would, at your outline, if you have an outline there, and I know this is redundant, please bear with me. It's very, very important. Repetition is the mother of learning. Amen. And so we say this not to be to bore you or to, oh, we've already studied that. Again, the key verse of Revelation is Revelation 1:19. Where God said to John, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Number one, the things which thou hast seen. That we know is Revelation chapter 1. That's the past. This is the vision of the glorified Christ. That's chapter 1. He said, I want you to write those things that are past. But then, number two, he said, in the things which are, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, that's the present. That's where we are right now. Amen. We live in what's known as the church age. Amen. This Pentecost to the rapture is known as the church age. Amen. The period of the church, the time of the church. But then number three, and the things which shall be hereafter. That's the future. That's Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to Revelation 22, 21. Okay? This period, that is the things which shall be hereafter, is set in motion by the rapture of the church. That is the event, ladies and gentlemen, that if we could say this, the prophetic clock it's like a stopwatch. It's been pressed down. Amen. And it's just holding there, waiting for the rapture of the church. And we'll get into that in a little bit here about the idea of God restarting that clock. Okay. So the period is set in motion by the rapture of the church. Then the reader is caught up in heaven. And I'm sorry, I didn't give you much room to write there. Caught up in heaven in Revelation 4, 1 through 5, 14. And we've studied that over the last 2 weeks. And witness the worship of God and the worthiness of our Lord to open the seven sealed book. So Revelation 4, 1, we have the rapture of the church. And then Revelation chapter 4, we have the worship of God around the throne. And then we have the worthiness of Jesus Christ to open the seven sealed book. This brings us to the major portion of the book of Revelation, and the largest section of the things which shall be hereafter, the period known as the tribulation. That is from Revelation chapter number 6 to Revelation 19. We have the tribulation period. Okay? The tribulation. Number one, if you would, the titles of the tribulation. The titles of the tribulation. Number one, probably the most popular title, the title that's used most is the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord. Did not actually have the room to write all the references to the Day of the Lord. I believe, if memory serves, it's either 26 or 27 times referring to the tribulation period called the Day of the Lord. And we give you a reference there. Number two, the indignation. The indignation. I-N-D-I-G-N-A-T-I-O-N. Indignation. The idea of being indignant. It's not a happy time. Amen? Amen? The tribulation is not. It's the period of the indignation. Number three, Isaiah chapter 34, verse 8, it's called the Day of the Lord's Vengeance. So many times, ladies and gentlemen, in this life, we want to take vengeance into our own hands. But God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I will repay, he said. This period of time, it's known as the Day of the Lord's Vengeance. Number four, it's called the Time of Jacob's Trouble, referring especially to Israel there. The Time of Jacob's Trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It's known as Daniel's 70th week. The prophecy of the 70 weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, the A bedrock of all Bible prophecy is Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It is literally what rises and falls of your prophetic interpretation is those particular scriptures. Speaking of the 70 weeks determined upon Israel. This is the last of those 70 weeks. Daniel's 70th week. Daniel 12:1, number 6, it's called a time of trouble. That's actually where we get the word tribulation from. Tribulation means trouble. That's why I say I want patience and I want it right now. But scripturally, you don't get it that way. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. Trouble works patience. Amen. Doesn't mean get in trouble and you'll become more patient. It means the troubles of life help us to develop patience. Number 7, Daniel 12:9. It's called the time of the end. The time of the end. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, it's called the Great Tribulation. I believe the rest of that scripture says, such as never was. Such as never was. It's hard for us to imagine seeing what's taking place in Japan, that it could be worse. When I think back to some of the atrocities of man, obviously I don't believe anything comes close to the death camps of Adolf Hitler. I don't think anything comes close to that. But ladies and gentlemen, it says great tribulation such as never was. It's going to be worse this period of time. Number 9, it's called the great day of His wrath. The great day of His wrath. And then number 10, Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. I hope you will take the time to look up these scriptures. I know we moved through these on Wednesday night. We've just got a finite amount of time here. It's called the Hour of His Judgment. So those are some titles of the tribulation. By the way, there's more. We didn't have room to be able to fit them all. But some titles of the tribulation, and they give us a glimpse into here on the second page the nature of the tribulation. What is the nature of this period of tribulation? Well, it's a period of wrath, number one. Wrath. God's wrath is poured out upon this earth, upon unbelievers. It's a period, number two, of judgment, where God is these cataclysmic judgments that take place. We already mentioned number three. It's a period of indignation where God is indignant with unbelieving man. And can I say this? After all that God has done to show His love, God has every right to be indignant with man not believing in Him. He's shown over and over how much He loves and cares for man, and yet man pushes Him away. Number four, it's a time of trouble. It's a period of trouble. Obviously, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. The passage in Zephaniah has a lot to say there. That little book of the Bible, Zephaniah, but chapter 1, dealing especially with the day of the Lord. Number 5, it's a day of destruction. It's a day of destruction. Number 6, it's a day of darkness. Darkness. A period of darkness. And then number 7, it's a period of desolation. Desolation. And literally, the earth will be left desolate when God gets done with it. And He's going to remake it. Amen. Thank God for that. He's going to remake it without sin. Number 1, the titles of the tribulation. Number 2, the nature of the tribulation. Number 3, the purposes of the tribulation. The purposes. What are some of the purposes of the tribulation? Well, what is God's purpose in this? Well, number 1, prophetic fulfillment. Prophetic fulfillment. At least by my count, and I'm sure there's probably more, but at least 125 prophecies concerning the second coming of Christ, the millennial reign, have yet to be fulfilled. And the tribulation will cause that, as I said, that stopwatch to begin clicking. Amen. Prophetic fulfillment. Number 2, it's to prepare Israel to receive her Messiah. It's to prepare Israel to receive her Messiah. And you say, Pastor, do you understand all that? You know, I don't. When I read this passage in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 7 through 10, when I read Romans chapter 11, some of that is hard. Amen? It's hard to understand. But listen, God still loves Israel. He loves Israel. Amen? He's never taken His eye off Israel. And so, it's to prepare Israel to receive her Messiah. Number three, it's to pour out judgment on the unbelieving. It's to pour out judgment on the unbelieving. And ladies and gentlemen, again, as we read through Revelation, it's amazing that as God pours out these judgments over and over, it says, and yet they repented not. And yet, I think of that time when the grievous sore will come on them, Pastor John. And it's they actually gnawed their tongues for pain. And yet, they repented not. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So pour out judgment on the unbelieving. Number four, to purge man of his false sense of security. To purge man of his false sense of security. You know, when everything's going good, listen, lost man needs not God. But when God begins to literally shake the foundations of the earth, and the universe for that matter, man will be forced to reckon that he is not the master of his own fate. Amen? Number five, to prove to Satan who's really in charge. Amen? See, remember what Satan said? I'm going to be just like God. No. No, you're not. Matter of fact, it says that prince will come against Messiah prince, and Messiah prince will put him down. Amen? Thank God for that. Number four, the purposes of the tribulation, the nature of the tribulation, the titles of the tribulation. Number four, the start of the tribulation. I'd like to go, if you would, go to Daniel chapter 9 with me. Daniel chapter 9. And we're doing good. Boy, I thought I was going to get stuck here. Amen? I think we'll get through this tonight. Praise the Lord. The start of the tribulation. Daniel, last of the major prophets, and after Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27 lays out what will happen in this 70th week of Daniel. This 70th week, this tribulation period. What will start it, Pastor? Well, let's read the verse here. It says, and he, speaking of the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, that's important, that 1 week. We'll look at that in just a moment. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Looking at your outline, if you would, it is the rapture of the church that will furnish the Antichrist with the opportunity and necessary chaos to provide leadership, to be given a position of power, and to restore order to the world. Okay, I'll read that again. It's the rapture of the church that will furnish the Antichrist with the opportunity and necessary chaos to provide leadership, to be given a position of power, and to restore order in the world. Can you imagine what this world is going to be like with millions of living Christians gone in an instant? And every baby. Every baby. In the womb, out of the womb. We believe from conception that baby's a life, amen, a soul. The chaos that will ensue will never be seen before. And that is what the Antichrist is going to use to step on the scene and say, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to put aside our differences. We've got to come together. We need peace. And everyone will look to him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that, you weren't paying attention the last time we had a presidential election. You know what people wanted? The president just to give them money. That's all they wanted. I'll vote for him if he gives me more money. That's a microcosm of the way people are going to look at the Antichrist and look to Him. And so it's the rapture of the church that is not necessarily the start, but it's the spark. However, the actual event that starts the tribulation is the Antichrist's 7-year covenant with Israel, spoken of here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Israel will rebuild its temple, restore temple worship, including sacrifices, when, according to this verse here, at the halfway point, or 3.5 years, the Antichrist declares himself to be God and demands worship. And these are great. Please look up these verses. Take the time to look these up. Matthew chapter 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about that wicked being revealed and the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And it talks about the restoration, it talks about the temple worship. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that means the temple has to be rebuilt. It's underneath the Dome of the Rock. It's got to be rebuilt. And I believe, Brother Heath, that the Antichrist will use this opportunity to say, listen, you can have your dome and the temple. And all will be well because I'm in charge. And listen, the Antichrist will have tremendous power. Satanically inspired power. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, do you know what they want in the Middle East other than Israel? Do you know what they want? And even Israel, should I say. They just want peace. They want peace. They want peace. And here comes a man that can give it to him. The Antichrist. Number 5 on the back page here, we have the events of the tribulation. And obviously, we could not do a detailed list here. You've got the chart. There's a lot of great, great material in here. You got the references there. Number 1, the 7 seal judgments. The 7 sealed book, Jesus is able to open the seals. 7 seal judgments. And obviously, we're going to get into these, so I'm not going to give you too much about those. Amen? We'll get into them in the weeks to come. Number 2, the sealed 144,000. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses. Amen? If you ever, and you can tell them I said so, if you ever meet a Jehovah's Witness and they say that they're part of the 144,000, kindly ask them which tribe they are from. Amen? I'll bet it's Dan and Ephraim. Because those are the 2 tribes that aren't included. Amen? They got excluded for idolatry. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, you want to talk about the biggest thorn in the devil's side are these 144,000 in the tribulation. They could walk up to the Antichrist and go, and you know what? He can't do anything about it. The Bible says they've got the seal of God in their foreheads and cannot be hurt. Cannot. And that's going to rub the Antichrist and the false prophet. Oh, it's going to rub them raw during the tribulation. So we have the sealed 144,000. Number 3, you have the 7 trumpet judgments. The 7 trumpet judgments. And as you look at these judgments, they're getting progressively worse as you go through the book of Revelation. Getting more and more difficult. Number 4, and again, here's another thorn to the devil. The speech of the 2 witnesses. 40 and 2 months, the devil can't do anything about them. That's half the tribulation. They're preaching the Word of God, and there's nothing he can do about it. Then they kill them, and they rise up. Amen. I love that. Just love. And it's a strange thing when you read that. It says that when they kill them, and just imagine, here you are, Brother Jones, you read a lot of Matthew Henry. Just imagine, here you are reading Matthew Henry, and it says that the whole world will be able to see their death. They could never have envisioned television, 24-hour news, anything like that. And then the Bible says they're actually going to send gifts to one another because the 2 witnesses are dead, which tormented them. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, Merry Anti-Christmas. Here they are giving gifts because the 2 witnesses are dead, but they get up. Amen. By the power of God raises them up. Number 5, Satan is cast out of heaven. You know, Satan still has access right now to the throne of God. How do you know that, Pastor? He comes daily and accuses the brethren before the throne of God. There's going to come a day where God has said, you're done. You're out. And the Bible says after that, he knows that he has but a short time. And unlike many a Christian, the devil's going to try to make every moment count. He's going to try to damn every soul he can. Number six, the seven vials or bowls judgments. And then lastly there, number seven, the seven dooms of Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Number six, the duration of the tribulation. What is the duration of the tribulation? Let's go to Genesis chapter number 29, if we could there. And it's where we get this term. When you hear theologians talking about the 70 weeks and a week equals this many years and all that. Well, where did he get that from, Pastor? Where's that formula in the Bible? Well, and it's good to look these verses up. Amen. It's good to mark your Bible. Genesis chapter number 29, verse 26 through 28 on your outline. 7 years equals 1 week. 7 years equals 1 week. And here we get that out of the story of Jacob serving for Rachel. And it says in verse number 26 of Genesis chapter 29, and Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. You remember, he fooled her. He gave her, or fooled him, he gave him Leah. And boy, if ever two people in the Bible were meant for each other, it was Laban and Jacob. I'll tell you that right now. You talk about two scoundrels, amen? Really, I know Jacob had faith and all that, but boy, these guys were just meant for each other. Look at verse 27, it says, fulfill her week, speaking of Rachel here, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet, how many years? 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave Rachel also his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave Rachel his daughter to Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And then verse 30 says, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So this period of time, this 70th week of Daniel, is the 7 year tribulation period. Great quote here from, you know, I didn't even put the reference in there. I normally do that. Gerald Stanton, excellent book, kept from the hour. The actual tribulation period will be 7 years in length. This is a fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week, Daniel 9:27, which we just read, indicates the week will be divided into two halves. When in the midst of the week, Antichrist will make the temple desolate with his abominations. That the week will be divided into two halves of 3 1/2 years is further indicated by the formula, a time and times and a half time, Revelation 12:14, Daniel 12:7, and by the measure of 40 2 months, that's 3 1/2 years, Revelation 11:2 and 13:5, and by the designation of 1,260 days, 1,260 days, 3 1/2 years. Amen. That's the duration of the tribulation. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I cannot accept a mid-tribulation position on the rapture or a post-tribulation position. You know why? Because as soon as that covenant is signed, the stopwatch starts. And I could tell you exactly when you're going to be halfway through the tribulation, and I could tell you exactly when it's going to be all done. And if I could do that, I'd be the man that knoweth the day and the hour when the Lord comes back. But no man knows the day nor the hour. Amen. That's why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Number seven, the end of the tribulation. What is the end of the tribulation, Pastor? It's interesting to note, the tribulation ends as it begins, with a rider on a white horse. Isn't that something? However, while the Antichrist was the rider at the start, the verse we read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, he's got a bow, no arrows, a crown is given to him, he comes peaceably. Jesus Christ is the rider at the end. And ladies and gentlemen, the meek Lamb of God, the one in the manger, is coming back in fiery indignation. He's not coming to make peace. Oh, he is going to make peace, but he's going to make it through war. He's going. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the next time somebody tries to give you this business of well, Jesus would never judge you. Listen, you read Revelation chapter 19. He's going to smite the nations with the sword that comes out of his mouth. And he calls all the birds of the heaven to come and feast on the flesh of them. He comes to four things quickly, and I'll be done here. He comes to smite and judge the nations. He comes to smite and judge the nations. Revelation 19:15 says he'll smite them and he'll rule them with a rod of iron. And Matthew chapter 25 is the judgment of the living nations. Number two, he comes to sentence the Antichrist and false prophet. Before he even takes on the nations, he walks over to the Antichrist and the false prophet and casts them into the lake of fire. I can imagine as Pastor John, as they're all lining up behind the Antichrist and the false prophet to fight, and it literally just takes their leaders and throws them into the lake of fire. Imagine what that would do. I think about David and Goliath when I think about that story. I think about old David, how he just walked up and killed Goliath and then lobbed his head off and held it up, and the Philistines fled. There's no place to run to here. Number three, he's going to send Satan away for 1,000 years. He's going to put him in the bottomless pit with a chain. And we're going to have a little heaven on earth, the millennium. No devil. Amen. But he's also come to set up his 1,000-year kingdom on earth. And so much more we could say about the tribulation. These messages is just a skim. Amen. I hope it wets your whistle. Amen. For the upcoming messages. But the tribulation is a real period of time. And listen, God had held that stopwatch for Israel. And once that covenant is confirmed, he hits it again and it runs for 7 years. And then time's not going to be any more. Amen. Praise God for that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father,